What is good, everybody? Talking about Practice Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Coming up next, it is Monday, 5:30 p.m. So, of course,
TBP.
Up next, before we get started, we want to thank some of our underwriters. Talking about Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Mountain Sports, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, cross-country skiing, camping, and just enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is located in downtown Chico at 176 East 3rd Street. Their telephone number is 345-5011. So thank you to Mountain Sports, and thank you for listening to us. TBP starts right now.
We talking about Practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. We are talking about practice. Full squad in the building. Your man Drew Gilbert alongside me as always for 5 years now. My man Derek Izumagi.
What's good, party people?
Be helpful if the mics are on.
Wow.
Brad,
wow.
You're killing it.
Producer extraordinaire.
Yeah, just absolutely crushing.
Don't even introduce.
Remember what I said to John before the show started? Yeah, that goes to you right now. What's good, party people?
Also, our man Jordan Booth, aka DJ J Bounds, in the building.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
God. John Lucan, a.k.a. Sonny Slim.
Broncos aren't as bad as we thought.
And not doing his job, man, Bradley Feingold. Statman Brad in the building.
Yeah!
Well, like I said, we got the whole entire squad in the building. We got a big show coming up for you guys. We're going to talk some UFC, college football, some hoops. We got Grinds My Gears, looking to the futures, foot and mouth, all sorts of stuff today. But we'll start with what happened least recently. By now, if you don't know, the Houston Astros are your 2019 World Series losers.
Oh, I was like, where is he going with this?
Game 7, lost at home, as everyone did in that series. The Nats came back from down 2 or more runs in the 7th inning or later 4 different times in their postseason appearance. Is that correct?
Yep. That is correct.
Yeah, so the Washington Nationals win after a horrible start to season, come back, and Bryce Harper is somewhere hurting.
There's actually a great thing going around. The buses the Nats used for their parade, they rented from Philadelphia. And they rented them out for a month long. So the decals they had on their bus are going to remain on those buses that are driving around Philadelphia saying Washington Nationals are World Series champs. So
epic troll.
Yeah.
That's
good, good on you, Washington Nationals.
I mean, we can claim that Bryce Harper is a sorcerer because in his press conference introduction interview with the Philadelphia Phillies, he said it himself.
Yeah.
We're trying to bring a championship back to D.C.
They did.
He didn't.
He didn't. No.
Yeah. He did it by saying it, though.
Yeah, I know.
He put it in motion.
Yeah.
He put it in motion.
Justin Verlander is now 0-6 in World Series games. He's obviously
I just want to laugh at somebody that's not.
It's not
Kershaw.
A bad showing, though. It's not like a Kershaw showing where he's giving up crazy
Kershaw's
home runs.
Honestly, in the World Series, Kershaw is better than Justin Verlander. Now, granted, throughout in other playoffs, Verlander might top Kershaw. But I'm just going to be saying, Verlander.
Ha! He's got a ring.
Verlander does have a +5 ERA in the World Series, which definitely, I would imagine, hurts his legacy, wouldn't you?
I don't.
Really?
I don't. I think coming up on the Detroit Tigers and that franchise, how kind of bad they were and how the teams he was on changed that franchise. And then
But that was a stacked squad they had, the Detroit Tigers team. That was a good team they had that went up against you guys. in the World Series. That was a good. They had a long. Yeah. They had a good series.
And what did we do? We swept them.
Yeah, I know that. And she was part of that team. So ha, Justin Verlander.
I'm just saying. I don't think it hurts as much as you would say. I'm not trying to throw wrenches at you here, but Kershaw, it's one of those, like, he has performed in the regular season. He's been a Cy Young winner, and he's performed in playoff series. He's performed in the playoffs. Yeah, granted, World Series, he's not the he doesn't show out.
This is the same argument you make for Kershaw right now.
You can't. Yeah, Kershaw doesn't show up in the playoffs. Kershaw has a 12 ERA in the playoffs.
Is Kershaw over after the seventh inning, though? If you're tired over, it's like 4.54.
If Kershaw never threw another inning today, is he a Hall of Fame pitcher?
Yes. 100%.
100%.
100%.
So is Justin Verlander.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't feel like this necessarily.
But the difference is where the team sport, the team aspect comes into play, and Verlander got picked up in 2016, and he has a ring.
Yeah, because he got picked up.
Okay. It's a
so
team sport.
He wasn't
sport.
Part of the team that,
this
like,
isn't tennis,
that
Derek.
Turned it around. I'm just
this isn't golf or tennis. It's a team sport.
Tell me more.
Verlander's better than Kershaw.
Not in the World
Series. Kate Upton.
Correction. He got picked up in 17, not 16.
Nice.
Pick that mic back up, all right? And walk off with it in hand.
All right, we're moving on.
Moving on.
But no, hold on. Before we move on, shout out to the Washington Nationals. First championship ever. Now we only have one franchise in the entire MLB that does not see a World Series playoff appearance, and that's Seattle.
Correct.
One more.
Now can we move on?
Yeah, we can move on.
Is that okay? All right, great.
Natties. Rendon.
The NFL is just as puzzling as it was week one. Some of the teams we thought weren't going to be good seem to be good. Some of the teams that we thought were going to be good aren't good. And most of the teams are just okay. One such team that we thought was really good got absolutely smacked yesterday down in Los Angeles when they had basically a home field advantage. I'm talking about the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
That stadium was full of cheeseheads. God, I hate that. And they got just mopped. That was as surprising as a result as I think we saw over the football weekend. The Packers are still great record, 7-2 overall. But I think we saw a lot of weaknesses in that team, and it definitely impacted the way, or at least the potential I think the Packers have moving forward this season. Did you guys feel the same, or do you think this is just anything could happen on Sunday type deal?
I mean, anything could happen on Sunday, but at the same time, it's the Chargers and it's Phillip Rivers, and it's like, really, them? Like, you know that Phillip Rivers definitely went home and tried to make baby number 11, but like, he had it tough.
You
night,
love that
but,
joke.
God, I'm just saying, it's, shut up, man. Shut up, Big Phil. But at the same time, it's like, dude, it's Phillip Rivers, and you lost to him in at home. Like, the Chargers don't have any home games at all.
Yeah.
Do you think Phillip Rivers was confused when there was 2 minutes on the clock and he wasn't down 7, needing to go 86 yards to win the
game?
He
actually had the game won over it by that time. Yeah. He was
well, I mean, let's
that.
Not forget, this team was a win away last year from making the Super Bowl against the Patriots.
They were 2 wins away.
2 wins. Okay. Excuse me. They were an 11-4 team. And most of them have been coming back.
This 11-4 would be 15
wait,
games.
What the hell are you
with
talking
a bye.
About? How were the Chargers
every
a play
team
away from
plays
the Super
16
Bowl?
Games.
They were a game.
Hold on. No. We're not going to let this slide.
They got beat by the Patriots in the playoffs in the divisional championship.
Hold on. You can keep talking, but you've been so inaccurate
in what
you're saying. 11-4 is not a possible record.
11-5.
Okay. That's more possible. That's, okay. And they were 2 games away from the
potato, potato, dude.
You know, 2016.
One game.
Yeah, that's when Justin.
Right. They were a solid team last year. They have a lot of returning starters. Yeah, they've been riddled with injury, but let's not forget, this is a good team. This is a good team.
Not this year.
Yeah, they haven't been this year.
I mean, the Melvin Gordon holdout definitely hurt.
Yeah. Actually, I think that him coming back has hurt them. You had a good thing with Eckler going, I felt. Now you have, like, I don't know what to do with my life right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always advantageous to have two great running backs.
Look at Philly.
Yeah. So, I mean, having depth in the backfield is important. I think, I mean, the real thing that you point to this game and the reason they won is Melvin Ingram and the other Bosa brother completely wrecked the game. And, I mean, they were on Aaron Rodgers from the first half until about the third quarter, and then he finally got a little bit of breathing room. But then at that point, it was too late.
I think they said they only blitzed him one play that entire game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They were getting there with a four-man rush.
Four-man rush, yeah. That's hard to – that line needs to do a lot better then.
So, Derek, do you think you cursed Aaron Rodgers by dressing up as Aaron Rodgers for Halloween?
Who said it was a curse? That's a blessing in my eyes.
Fair enough.
Denim on denim.
That was a great costume. The Ravens and the Patriots, their first loss of the game, or first loss of the season, leaving the San Francisco 49ers, also the Santa Clara, a.k.a. the Santa Clara 49ers, has the only undefeated team left. I want to talk about the Ravens for a second. More specifically, I want to talk about the argument that Brad, John, and I had last night, where you guys were saying Lamar Jackson is more elusive than Michael Vick, and I think that is just lunacy.
I don't think it's lunacy to say that.
Lunacy.
I mean, they're comparable.
They're very comparable.
Michael Vick said himself that Lamar Jackson is a bigger, stronger, faster him.
Thank you.
That's a direct quote from the person you're defending.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's
not more elusive.
You're just really in tune to Madden 2004, where it was a cheat code, and you could run to one opposite side of the field and throw 80 yards with Michael Vick.
That was the very
that.
First Madden
We're
I ever
seeing
had.
That real yeah, with Lamar Jackson. Did you see the plays that this kid made
yeah,
last?
Yeah, he's
against
great.
Against a storybook defense that is setting records right now through 8 games.
Not anymore. Anybody, but
yeah, they haven't played, I mean, the Bills.
I do want to point out, before the season started, I did say Lamar Jackson's the guy to look out for this season.
You did?
Okay. With this being said, I got into a discussion with one of our buddies last night, JJ. You guys know JJ. Big-time Patriots fan. So he's a little biased in the conversations. So I want to get you guys' opinion. We were talking about franchise quarterbacks in the league. Do you think What's the timetable for a new quarterback coming into this league to make it as a franchise quarterback? Do we label Lamar after this game or after this his full season of work that he's done, the last year's half season and this half season, as being a solidified franchise quarterback that you build around? Or what do you guys think? Like, I mean, how many franchise quarterbacks are there in the league right now?
I think you got to have 3 or 4+ years of sustained success.
Yeah, because
to be able to consider yourself a franchise quarterback.
He's doing things that, again, bigger, stronger, faster. Well, maybe not faster, but comparable to Robert Griffin III's rookie season and even sophomore season. He hit the scene and was Offensive Rookie of the Year, I believe. He absolutely showed out his first year. Was okay his second year, but Washington at the time thought they had a franchise quarterback. So I agree with Derek. You got to hold it down for 3-4 years. I mean, in some cases, barring injury, I think it's safe to say after we've seen Patrick Mahomes as a starter for a season and a half, pretty obvious that's your franchise guy, right?
You think that's a franchise? So
you're not going to give up on
it. So if Patrick Mahomes has 2 awful seasons this next following 2 years, is he still considered franchise quarterback? He hasn't put in 4 years.
I mean, I believe so because, I mean, we look at somebody like Cam Newton, who now isn't elite by any stretch of the imagination, but he has won an MVP previously, and he's had down years consistently after that, but we still consider him at least a starting-level quarterback. So if you're,
but that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying start. There's plenty of start. Like Jimmy Garoppolo is a starting quarterback in my eyes. He's not a franchise quarterback.
Let me finish my thought, though. There's not many franchise quarterbacks in the league in general. Mm-hmm. There's only 3 quarterbacks, maybe 4, that you wouldn't replace if you had an opportunity to. So when you say the word franchise, you're saying elite, and there's only 4 of those in general.
Yeah,
so
agreed.
I mean, that you got to take it for what it is. There's only 4 elite quarterbacks in the NFL.
Breeze, Wilson.
Moment. Yeah.
Breeze, Wilson, Brady.
I disagree with Brady.
He's teetering on that.
I would say,
what do you mean? Roger. He's a franchise quarterback. He's been with that franchise and won 6 Super Bowls over 20 years. What do you mean,
but
you guys?
It's a team game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was, they were,
you
getting,
are not saying Tom Brady is a franchise quarterback.
No, because neither was Bill Belichick, because he was trying to replace him with Jimmy Garoppolo.
I'm just going to say, if you're starting a franchise right now and you want the best thing out there, Brees is going to be very low on that. Not low, but he's not going to be your top 4. That's Jordan's going off of.
Brees got traded away from the Chargers because they thought he would never play again with a shoulder injury, and now he's been a franchise quarterback for the last 10 years.
But what does that happen? Exactly. That's 10 years ago. This is right now with Brady. Brady doesn't have 10 more years left. He might barely even have 2 more years left.
Yeah, I don't think Brady's elite anymore.
He's not elite.
Yeah, we're talking about franchise quarterbacks.
He can handle a team.
So in this argument, then Lamar Jackson would be a franchise quarterback.
Not yet.
No, I don't think so.
Why not?
He hasn't had any playoff success. He hasn't even started a full season as a starter. Yeah. He hasn't been a starter for a full season.
Man, I was in a good mood before this segment.
I don't know why this would bring you down because we proved you wrong. I think that's
No.
And also, he's not an elite thrower.
You're telling me Tom Brady's not an elite thrower, and they just lost their
first game. I'm talking about Lamar Jackson. I'm talking about Lamar Jackson. Yeah. Lamar Jackson is not an elite thrower of the football yet. I mean, he didn't even throw for 200 yards. He had a masterful game, but I mean, you can stop that game plan if you come in knowing what the game plan is.
Bill Belichick is infamous and Hall of Fame worthy for stopping your best asset. That is what Bill Belichick is known for, and he could not stop it last night.
Okay, well, he lost at all. LeBron Jackson lost to the Browns as well this season. So, yeah. Again, like that kind of
and didn't just lose to him, got blown out at home.
Any given Sunday.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. Let's move on. San Francisco 49ers, only undefeated team left in the league.
That's the worst thing about this week.
Good, right, everybody. Oh, what God. Is good? We're back. And did you notice
we're back
because I am back on the bandwagon, the old fan wagon. That's all you got to do, you know, go undefeated the first half of the season. And old J-Row's right back, fully engaged, watching everything, looking up news articles, paying attention. It feels good. Feels good.
It's amazing what winning can do for you.
It really is.
And playing nobody.
I'd relax on playing nobody.
Besides the Rams, who have you played?
Other teams.
I mean, you got a pretty tough division. So, I mean, before it's all said and done, you will play somebody.
Yeah, yeah, the Cardinals game, the Cardinals are better than a lot of people think. I don't think they're a good team, but
they
I feel like they
should have lost that game.
They did their best at the end.
Yeah, 100% did their best.
Yeah. But Jimmy Garoppolo finally had his best game as a Niner. Also, 13-2 is a starter for the Niners, which I didn't realize. That's pretty impressive. So I had my doubts about Jimmy Garoppolo this season, but he really showed out in that game. Yeah, it's good to be a Niners fan right now. We have a really telling game coming up this next Monday up in Seattle. Obviously, division rivalry. These two teams met in back-to-back championships. There's still bad blood between the two franchises. So
you got Richard Sherman back on the Niners team going back up there. Yeah,
yeah, that should be a good one. Anything else from yesterday's action you guys want to get into? Opening the floor to anybody.
I mean, Baker Mayfield was trash once again.
Broncos win.
Yeah, okay, let's talk about that. The Browns, man, what? Okay, we thought that they had a really tough schedule to start with, but I don't think any of us saw them coming out the gate 2-6 to start the season.
No. Hugh Jackson had a better start last season than Freddie Kitchens, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can blame it on the talent that is, you know, conformed to that squad. Both on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball. I mean, you have stars everywhere. I think it comes down to coaching staff and front office. I mean, that's what the Browns have always kind of been their Achilles heel, you know, taking the Manziel over more established, you know, winning quarterbacks. And just their luck of horrible draft picks and just the way their franchise has been run the last couple of years. I think it needs to come from within rather than the actual 53-man roster.
Okay. I made a mistake. SF is actually playing Monday night at home. I said they're up in Seattle. I believe they are at home, correct?
Even better for you.
All right, great.
They're playing at home. It's like they're like removed cousins' home, you know? Like they
still get Niner fans.
They're like
there,
displaced.
Like, no matter what, it's not
enough,
like they're, yeah, they're not playing like in a foreign land.
Yeah, they're not playing in Mexico City or London.
Poor Jacksonville.
I hate those games.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't like those games.
No,
though.
I hate them.
I'm putting it all account right now. I think they said there's more merchandise being sold in England of Jacksonville than there is in Jacksonville. I don't know if that was a fake stat or just a stat to be.
Well, they're definitely trying to move that Jacksonville franchise out there.
And the Raiders are the most two popular franchises in Europe. In London.
That's because they're always playing there.
Yeah, always send them out.
Yep.
Poor England. They don't know what they're getting.
They don't know.
Before we move on.
How are they supposed to send the Patriots out there, really, though? You know, yeah, I feel like that's just salt in the wound.
Before we move on from
NFL.
Thanks for interrupting me. we got to talk about toilet bowl number two. I heard on the Dan Le Batard show today, Stu God said, the rare case where the winner lost and the loser won. Miami gets their first win of the season by beating hapless New York Jets. No one wanted to win this game, except, of course, the players and the coaches on the field. But neither franchise wanted to win because they are both trying to tank for Tua, I would imagine, or at least for that number one seed.
Yeah.
And we have a – or number one draft pick, not number one seed. We have a real battle. battle of stinkers going on, right? We have Cincinnati 0-8, I believe.
It's coming on strong right now. Man.
Washington is 1-7, I believe. And now we have two more franchises with just one win. So the end of the season is going to be really exciting for all you loser fans of loser franchises. I should say fans of loser franchises. You're not necessarily a loser, just the people and the teams you associate with.
No, you're a loser too.
Okay, fair enough.
But I mean, I'm not honestly not a big fan of tanking in football.
Yeah.
Football is a sport to where it doesn't seem to me to make a lot of sense to tank. Because it's a 53-man team.
Yeah.
There's 11 people on the field. One person is not, even unless he's Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes, he's not going to make a difference. And even then, he still has to have blockers and people to throw the ball to and stuff like that. So I feel like tanking for one player in true team sports like the NFL and baseball and stuff like that, not the biggest fan.
Basketball is another different sport where one person can really kind of control the play.
Yeah.
But in football, like you said, if you have a great best quarterback, but you got no offensive lineman to block four-man rushes, it doesn't matter what happens out there.
Yeah.
You're going to get sacked left and right.
And for whatever reason, we could theorize about this later, but in football, I think there's just so many more misses at the top of the draft than there is in basketball, right? I mean, usually the top three picks in basketball, two of those guys are going to make all-star appearances.
I don't know about that. I feel like the NBA draft is all about potential.
Sure.
NBA people draft off potential, while NFL people draft off body of work.
I think NFL also drafts more based on need, too.
Exactly. So,
as opposed to who's the best player available.
Exactly. NFL teams reach a lot more, but NBA teams draft completely off of what they think the future is going
to
look like.
I mean, granted, you have a lot more rosters to fill, so there's a lot more opportunities for you to fail at picking, because it's not easy to pick somebody's future and what they're going to do for you. So...
Yeah.
Not to mention, I think it's just harder to be better in football than it is to be better in basketball.
100%.
Yeah, well, you're a lot more codependent in football,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you need to be in the right situation. You need to identify. You need to find a coach who can identify your skill set and build a game plan around your abilities. And not where in basketball, oftentimes, yes, you need good players around you, but if you're super elite, like, that's going to show up no matter who you're playing with. It's going to be obvious that you're great. So with some football talk kind of wrapped up here, I think it's time we should all vent, shall we?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. 30 Thirsty Seconds of Fantasy starts now. But I gotta know what's your fantasy. No! All right, so there was a UFC fight this weekend. Did anyone get to catch any of the main event? Anyone?
I mean, I saw some highlights of it. Yeah,
you saw some highlights.
Yeah. Actually, my roommate, being the great man that he is, got a subscription for a year of ESPN Plus, and we got the fight for free.
You have the greatest roommate in the history of roommates.
Yeah, you should have paid for it.
League pass and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah. I'm jealous. So Jorge Masvidal defeated Nate Diaz for the BMF title, the baddest mother bleeper title. These two dudes are just like both dudes that come from the streets. Masvidal from the streets of Miami actually came up under Kimbo Slice street brawling. And Nate Diaz out of Stockton. Neither one of these dudes have any scare in them. Both just seem to be super authentic people. Part of the reason that I love Masvidal so much is because... obviously, he really rose to fame when he knocked out Ben Askren in quickest knockout ever in UFC history in 5 seconds with the flying knee. And this is when I knew he was the man. I liked him before, but when Joe Rogan had this question, his answer is so concise and perfect, it just makes me smile every time.
Why the flying knee?
Because he's a bum.
Jeez. As he's still on the canvas, just in La La Land, he's a bum.
Because he's a bum.
So succinct and to the point. I just absolutely love it.
No, I love after, too, in the press conference, they were talking Nate Diaz. I mean, there's
There's real respect there between those two
there
guys.
There definitely is. And it had a couple reporters go in and kind of bring up Conor McGregor trying to get back into the UFC and what this means for maybe a potential fight between them. And he said, you guys don't want to see that. I'll beat that little kid up.
Oh, he would. And he absolutely would. I think Masvidal deserves a shot at the title at this point. I think before, because he was saying they're going to run it back, him and Nate Diaz. But I think, yes, let's run it back, sure. This was a third-round TKO. Yeah. The doctor stopped the fight because Nate Diaz's eye was busted. And the doctor determined Diaz couldn't go back in and fight anymore. Diaz pleaded with him to let him go back out there, but the doctor decided the cuts were just too big and they couldn't really stop the bleeding. So they called the fight, but... it was an entertaining fight. I wish it would have gone longer, but definitely entertaining. And Masvidal's star is just rising and rising.
I want to touch a little bit just on the TKO that the doctor gave. You know, obviously it's the closest thing that we have to a gladiator sport from the Roman times in UFC. But these doctors are trained professionals and coming from an objective place. They're not, refs wanting to see good ratings. They're not all, this. So... in this, the last waking few days of him calling, of this doctor calling the fight, he's been having death threats and all kinds of stuff, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that like we have this sport that is such a brutal, brutal sport, more so than football or anything else, and you're having this guy. I mean, the second that we have refs wanting to get ratings and sending people back out there, like I get Nate Diaz, comes from a different cut of cloth. And wants to show out and just have a brawl type fight, which is great for ratings, which is great for viewership. But this guy is years and years trained to see these kind of things, and to not feel guaranteed for him to go. It wasn't that he didn't think that the cuts were too much at that time. He just didn't think another five minute round he could be protected health wise and safety and. Hats off to the doctor to make that call, because that's a tough call to make, especially with the hype of this fight.
Yeah, in the middle of Madison Square Garden.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and again, I mean, the UFC should only be stoked on the fact that they have a doctor that's willing to put their legacy on the line to stop a fight that soon. And in the future, like you said, I mean, this is only going to combat and boost the second round of this fight, which I think is definitely going to happen.
Yeah, they said immediately after the fight that they wanted a rematch. So, in all likelihood, we will see a rematch. You're listening to Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show right here on FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You can check us out online if you would like, kzfr.org. We are a private radio station, not a commercial radio station. So we depend on viewers or listeners just like yourselves to open your hearts, open your purse strings, and donate. You can go to kzfr.org right now and tip the show if you'd like. There is a tip the show button right at the top there. Pretty easy to find. Go ahead and make that happen. Also, totals for Pledge Drive. We want to thank our listeners again. 54K, we beat our goal by $4,000. Again, it's because of listeners like you showing out strong, and we just want to once again take the time to thank you, everyone who pledged and everyone who will pledge next time around.
That extra money goes to us, right? Yeah, we get a little piece of that.
We get so much of it.
Yeah. All right, sweet.
We get
worth it.
Fuck
yeah.
Whoa, that was a little close. Yeah.
Puck?
That was not.
With a P?
No. That was.
Time and place, but.
Yeah, that. Oh. That was really for... You know what? Timeout. Go ahead and take a timeout, John. I got this. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Hall Marketing and Design, where you work directly with the owner, Charlotte Hall, not a sales rep. Charlotte and her team will get your business noticed with a comprehensive marketing plan, including creating brochures, websites, ads, logos, office, and promotional materials, and more. Whether you're a new business or a business looking for a new job, Hall Marketing and Design can create a plan that's right for you. For a no-cost consultation, call Charlotte at 895-9484. All right, John, you can come back now. It's all right. Once again, talking about practice, Jarrell Gilbert, Derek Isamaki, Jordan Booth, John Lukin, and Statman Brad, a.k.a. Brad Feingold. We got to talk about some things. Some people who are no longer alive to us. Shall I start? I'll start the bidding. Is that okay? I didn't really ask. All right, we're rolling with it. You set the world on fire your rookie season. More importantly, you made me look like an idiot when I came on this very show last year and said that I thought you would be the next Johnny Manziel. Then, once forced with actual expectations, you, sir, dissolved into one of the most predictable, terrible, horrible quarterbacks in the league. You shaved more times yesterday than you threw touchdown passes. Baker Mayfield, you're dead to me.
You play in a sport where millions of people watch. Millions of people discuss, critique, talk about you in a way that makes you almost not real. Yet you sign up for it because the money's good. If you didn't want someone to critique your work, then jump off a bridge. Because you'll be dead and you won't have to hear the people critiquing you for jumping off a bridge. Because everything you do in life will be critiqued in some way, shape, or form. So when people critique you, and you lash out on Twitter saying you're going to kill them because your ego is so fragile you can't take some random nobody telling you you can't play the sport at the highest level, even though you are playing the sport at the highest level, or at least you were until you got cut. Because now, guess where your fragile ego is at this point? Not playing in the NFL. Jermaine Whitehead, you're dead to me.
With Hall of Fame names like Fred Biletnikoff, Derek Brooks, Deion Sanders, and even legendary coaches like Bobby Bowden. Once a program of prestige and greatness on primetime games every week. How did this program fall? Where did we go to? All we have is BS coaches fighting amongst ourselves. And just lost overall control of the program. With one day, I hope that this program comes back. But for now, Florida State football, you're dead to me.
You know, once again, I'm doing good this week. I'm doing great this week. I only have 6 losses in our free throws after the show. I don't have 17. I'm doing fine. For those of you unfamiliar about what Brad's talking about, after every show, we go to our local Beach Hut delicatessen, and we shoot free beer throws. So we shoot from
it's a Jewish delicatessen, just by your way.
Yeah.
Just how I like it.
But we shoot free beer throws from an imaginary free throw line that we came up with.
I mean, Judah. What? Judah?
Timeout.
Yeah. He called it on you, man.
Got it. You gotta go. Yeah. You gotta go. Good, because we're about to do Luke into the future, so I guess we'll handle that. We'll do it for you, bro. We got you. But we shoot free beer throws. Loser, whoever doesn't hit a shot, ends up having to buy the round. And Derek's had a tough go.
Yeah, it's been rough.
You came back in recent weeks, but the
last 2 or 3 have been pretty bad.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I think to myself.
Well, let's talk some college football, shall we?
Hey, it's me. Knock, knock. So, you got my money? You gonna give me my money? Where's
that's right, boys. We're back. A little bit of degeneracy. Betting, picking, winning. That's what we do here. This week, picked three games for you guys. I also picked another few games. But in that wake of the three games that I picked for you guys, we went 2-1. Thanks, Florida.
Stay hot, boy!
But yeah, it brings our overall record to 52-17, boys. 52-17. I don't know if you guys are good at math. We usually don't do it on air, but I did it pre-air. And that's 75.3%. 75! Someone hire me for your corporate team of degeneracy. Because I'm good. I'm real good. This week, just to prove my skills, we're gonna take some big games. Some games that I normally wouldn't take. Just to show you how well anyone can do at this. With a little bit of research. We got 5 games this week, guys. 5. Really excited about them. It's one of the biggest weeks of the season. First game we have the undefeated 8-0 Baylor Bears at TCU. We're going to take the Baylor Bears -2.5. I also like both these programs are high-scoring offenses, have been for the last decade. Over-under is 51. I like the over of 51 as well. We have Ohio State in Ohio versus the dead-to-me Maryland Terps. With that being said, we are going against Maryland. Then again, the spread is 43. We're not going to take that spread. We're not ridiculous. I am a degenerate, but we're not ridiculous. We're going to be taking the over-under. We're taking the over of 63. I think Ohio State puts up 65 on this team. Next, we have three big, big conference games. Game of the week to me. Co-game of the week to me. We have Penn State undefeated at Minnesota, also undefeated. Minnesota's favorites, Penn State is favored 6.5. I like Minnesota in this. I think Penn State wins this by a field goal, but at 6.5, I like Minnesota. And then the ultimate game, a playoff game, LSU.
Yes, yes.
At Alabama.
This is going to be a yes.
This is the game of the year, you guys. -6.5 for Bama. Now, Bama hasn't played anyone this year. Mm-hmm. Anyone. LSU has been tried and true throughout the entire season. I think it's going to be a standard LSU-Alabama game filled with field goals. I'm taking LSU +6.5.
Let's go!
And then one that's
why are you
kinda
so into this right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, why are
Brad?
You like, so
what's
excited?
What do you think?
I hate
LSU.
Bama.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I want them to lose.
All right, and then my last
you got that now.
My last one followed up. I usually try to stay away from the Pac-12 this time of the year. You know, everyone's picking each other off. You never really know what team is great. But we have USC coming off a tough loss to Oregon at Arizona State. Arizona State coming off a bye. Herm Edwards has had that team playing really well the past couple weeks. I like Arizona State -1.5. Let's get it, Arizona State. And now, into the bias picks. Everyone's been faltering. We had an entire week this week, guys. Everyone lost. I'm really, really All right. disappointed in you guys. Let's try to pick it up this week, huh? So, first game we have, Jarrell, obviously, losing his New Mexico Mountain West Conference game. He has a bounce-back game. Kansas State coming off a bye after beating Oklahoma. Kansas State at Texas. Texas -6.5, over under 59. Jarrell, where are you going?
Does it matter? I'm going to be wrong. We'll go undover.
You're going to what?
Undover.
Okay, we're going undover.
Undover?
Undover. Over.
Over 59. All right. Mm. And just to let you know, you're a 3-5-1, Jarrell.
Ugh.
Coming in.
Disgusting.
Coming in just.
Makes me sick.
Pretty much just as good myself at 3-5. Actually, I won this week. What am I saying? I won this week. I took San Jose State +18. Oh, wow. I won. Screw you guys. 3-5. Washington State at Cal. Cal is +8 against Washington State at home, over under 51. We're going to stay with the Bears. We're going Cal +8.
Mm.
Now, Derek.
You're going to regret.
Derek was the only team that had his Michigan boys playing last week. Again, didn't go for the spread, even though he should have. He lost the over-under. Bummer. Again, Michigan lets you down. Michigan on a bye. Because they're playing Ohio State next week. Hopefully they can get it together. But you chose another Mountain West Conference game, Wyoming at Boise State. Boise State is favored 12.5, over under 48.5.
My boys in Wyoming are going to cover that spread. Go Cowboys.
Now, Jordan. Jordan is tied with the lead here over the season at 5-3. He missed his under of Ohio State last week. He missed his under of the Mountain West, again, BYU. But he has Ohio State coming back. Yeah, he has Ohio State coming back against the Maryland Terrapins. Minus 43 for the spread, over under 63. Jordan, where are you going?
I'm going to take Maryland to cover the spread.
Maryland to cover the spread.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They got to lose by what? Less than 43.
They got to lose by 42.
Or less, yes.
Or less.
Yep. All right.
Fair enough.
And bringing up the rear, who is also tied for first.
That's not the rear, that's the front.
I know, but the last person I'm going with.
Oh, okay.
Brad is on a 3-game losing streak, everyone. He's really hit a downward spiral. And he's got the toughest game of his schedule.
Yep.
Notre Dame at Duke. Duke is favored 8 points over under.
Hold up. They're favored 8 points?
Excuse me. They are the dogs.
I was like, how is that even possible?
Plus 8.
Okay.
Over under 51.5.
Okay. This is going to be the first time of the year. I'm going to go Notre Dame minus 8.
Wow.
Yeah. I think they're going to beat them at least 14 or more. So, yeah, minus 8.
All right.
That hurt.
We'll check in next week. Into Luke into the futures.
Tell him your record one more time, son.
My record, 52-17.
52-17.
If you guys want to hop on this train. Also, I want to give a shout out to a anonymous MGM bettor this week who took a 12-team college football parlay. All spreads, which is a ridiculous, ridiculous thing to do. Hit it. $20 buy-in. Netted the man or woman or person $40,000 off $20 bet. Shout out to you.
Shouts to them indeed. Yikes. That sounds...
If you win $40,000 off a $20 bet, what's the first thing you're buying? Not getting rid of debt. I don't want to say get rid of debt.
I'm a degenerate. I'm first going to reinvest that into a bet.
I didn't say that boring. What are you buying?
I'm also going to buy us all plane tickets, and we're going somewhere fun, boys. That's okay. Where I would do.
All right. I'm glad you're selfish. You're not selfish in that one because I'm not doing that for you guys. Sorry.
No. I would do it.
I would do it eventually. But like,
yeah, you guys will pay me
that's
back.
That's not the first thing you're buying.
No.
Yeah. What's the first thing you're buying?
Dude, that's a good question, man.
You asked it.
I know. I didn't think about it. I wanted you guys to think about it. I wasn't thinking about it.
If you have $40,000 tomorrow,
first thing I'm buying right now, dude, I would probably do because I've always wanted it. I'm going to buy myself a 69 Plymouth Roadrunner and the proper engine to go inside that bad boy and put it together.
Okay.
If I have anything, I need to do it
Jordan,
myself. Yeah.
You get $40,000 tomorrow. What do you do?
Apartment complex.
What?
You can't buy an apartment. You can barely buy an apartment with $40,000.
Yeah. Buy an apartment complex. That's what I'm buying.
Okay. Where?
From Lego that you're going to build
Hardington,
up yourself?
Nebraska. Yeah. Wherever.
We talking Huntsville, Alabama?
Wherever I need to. That money will come back. That money will fold over eventually.
That's okay. A smart investment, right. Actually.
Brad?
I'm putting mine into some savings. Roth IRA.
Oh, my gosh.
I had to cut your mic off.
Get out of here.
Come on. I'm going to read a list that will make sure that I set up my 401k properly. This is like a tire. God.
Make me
you know
sick.
What? You don't even deserve a North State update, but I'll give you one anyway. He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
Yeah, I gotta say my investments are doing really well so far, so that'd be a smart decision. But anyways, we're going to the North State Update. Chico State Soccer was...
Did you just tell us about your portfolio, Brad?
It is kind of sad that Brad, I would believe Brad would have a portfolio, 100%. Brad, by the age of 35, is going to like have way more money than any of us right now, 100%. Put together.
We're going to be going to him to borrow $40,000.
Yeah.
All right, so Chico State men and women's soccer was in play. Men had a great weekend. They played against Stanislaus State and Sonoma State, beat them both.
look at that. You got it right. Got it right. Good for you. Yeah, they beat the Stanislaus State 6-0 and Sonoma State 1-0. That brings their overall record to 10-4 and conference 6-4. Most likely making it to playoffs, barring they lose these next two games and they just can't play anymore. So they're making playoffs. But they have two more games to play. Cal State East Bay this Thursday at Chico, 4:30 p.m. And Cal State Monterey Bay at Chico, Saturday, 11:30. Unfortunately, the women did not have a great weekend. They lost them both. Stanislaus State, they lost 1-2. And Sonoma State, 1-3. That brings their overall record to 8-7-1 and conference record to 4-6. Right now, they're the 8th seed. They have a playoff spot, but they have to win these next two games. They'll be playing at Chico against Cal State East Bay on Thursday, 7 p.m., and Cal State Monterey Bay Saturday at 2 p.m. These are must-win games for them to make playoffs for the conference. Now, moving into the biggest game of the week, the Hammond Bowl.
Just keep that going. Just keep that on repeat.
It was game over for the Vikings as Chico takes the bowl. They actually dominated the whole first half, but only scored 13 points. It was 13-3 at half. Chico was running, throwing all over the place. Their big player, Abe Del Real, had two huge touchdowns over 30 yards for the, as I was about to say, the Vikings. No, it was the Panthers. And unfortunately, Peavy did not have an answer back. Early in the third quarter, though, Chico almost let Peavy back in with three unsportsmanlike conducts.
Wasn't it one drive?
It was one drive. I think they had four or five in the game completely. Two of them were to give 15 yarders, and one was at the 1 yard line. They had a goal line stop, fourth down, and an unsportsmanlike conduct. Give them another four downs. They scored on that one, made it 10-13. But Chico came back, scored another touchdown in the fourth, and didn't look back. It was a close one. PV actually had a run in the fourth quarter. About a 50-60 yard run, was brought back for a holding call. They had to punt it off and didn't do too well after that. So Chico wins this Almond Bowl, but both will be making it to playoffs. You good? You good? Okay, you're good.
Are you good?
I'm good. I'm a little salty right now, but yes. Chico will be playing Foothill for the final game of the year. Big game there. It will have playoff implications. Right now, looking at the playoff predictions by Max Preps, most playoffs will be using that as their seeding. Chico High is ranked number one and PV number two, even though the record is 5-5. Reason behind that is their strength of schedule is the best in the league. So at 17.7. Everyone else is around 11 or 12. Wow. So they played some big games against Del Oro.
Well, I mean, as they should, being, you know, state champions.
Yeah, and they played them very well. They just lost because, you know, these teams are D1 teams. So they weren't expected to win, but they played them very tough.
No excuses. Rule 48, no excuses. Play like a champion.
You know what? They did. Twice in the past 3 years. Not much I can say for about Chico High there. So
you're only as good as your last win. What did Chico do last win?
They beat PV. So, going to Paradise, they end the season 10-0.
Wow. Knock on wood if we're with us.
To them.
And that's how the Cougars do it. They beat
Bobcats.
Bobcats.
Oh, wow. My goodness, man.
Wow. Oh,
if this wasn't your segment, I would say get out of here.
You know,
what? Actually, you're...
I'm done. I'm going to... Hey,
there you go.
Final statement. Paradise will be going to the playoffs in the D3 level. Good for them. Good luck. I'm going to take a timeout.
Shout out to Paradise, though. Let's be real. Yeah, right?
100%. Paradise,
what, almost a full year after the fire?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I mean, can barely even grasp a team with all these kids that are displaced and families. shout out to that entire community. This is great for the Paradise community just to be able to rally around this group of kids and to do what they're doing and accomplish what they've already accomplished.
Yep.
You're not
before
done yet,
even
though,
the playoffs.
Paradise.
Yeah, before yeah. even the playoffs
not
is,
yet,
is a huge
make,
feat.
Make a little run. Let's get exciting.
1 year anniversary of the campfire coming up this Friday. It's crazy. It's been a year already. So much in this city and the surrounding areas is just will never be the same. So, again, shout out to the Bobcats. Derek, do you have some news for the people?
I do.
Well, I don't have a drop for you, but we're just going to make it work.
Right on, y'all. Time for
the news. Richard Steve Mosser III of Cincinnati is claiming religious discrimination against the Ohio Bureau of Motor Vehicles. Why? Because the OMV, I guess the OBMV, I don't know if that's what they call it, but that's what I'm going with, won't allow him to wear his headdress of his church. Now, Mosser's church is the Church of Flying Spaghetti Monster, and the headpiece in particular is a colander. The Ohio Bureau of Motor Vehicles is claiming that such religion is actually not a real one and therefore won't allow such headpiece to be worn. But that's not what Stephen Mosser believes. He's fighting for his right to party right now. And he wants to have that colander on top of his head when he gets his driver's license photo taken. And I'm right there with you, brother. You should be able to wear it. You got the Flying Spaghetti, the Church of Flying Spaghetti Monster. I'm with you, man. I am right there with you. Why? Because it's been done before. That's right. In Massachusetts, Lindsay Miller, apostafarian herself, and a member of the Church of Flying Spaghetti Monster, was in fact able to have a colander on her head when she took her driver's license photo. So why can't Mr. Monster have it himself?
Apostafarian?
All hail the ruling spaghetti. Do what you got to, Monster. Do what you got to. Take him to court. Take him all the way. I'm right there with you. All right, we're going across the pond, y'all, to good old Oxford University, where they want to be as inclusive as possible. And realizing that there are many dangers their campuses imposes on people they want to get rid of. One of those dangers is clapping. They feel that applauding after certain situations causes anxiety to people, and they shouldn't have to experience that anymore. So to include those people who can't handle clapping, they have since decided to use jazz hands as a way of applauding the person speaking. Thank you, Oxford, for being so smart and leading the way into the stupid world of jazz hands. One last one, a serious one right now. Taking you down to Mississippi, where, for those of you who aren't aware, Emmett Till, a name that you should know, was brutally murdered, beaten, lynched. Why? Because allegedly, it was actually proven falsely, never actually happened.
Yeah.
Whistled at a woman, Carolyn Bryant, who will rot in hell forever. Say hello to Art Briles while you're there. And Urban Meyer, too.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
In 2007, a plaque was placed up in honor of Emmett Till by the Emmett Till Foundation. And several of those signs have been vandalized, taken, and otherwise shot at. Most recently, they put one up. 35 days later, they had to put another one up because it was shot at again. It is sad to think that such a sign would go terrorize in such an area when we constantly need that reminder of what happened in our country back then, what people like Emmett Till went through and are still going through.
Preach.
Church.
And the fact that there are people down there that can't handle a sign being put up of a historical event that happened is depressing, scary, and quite utterly disgusting. No one has ever been caught vandalizing the sign, but I hope they do. Because you, sir, are a coward, or ma'am, or whomever you are. That's the news.
Good timing. Wow. All right. Good job, by the way, Derek. Let's talk some hoop, shall we? We haven't
Hoop's back.
We haven't talked much hoop on the show. There's just been so much. Our apologies to Erin Isamaki. We'll have her on next week's show. We're just There's so much going on right now. We just couldn't get to her. So we will have our foreign slash domestic correspondent on the show next week, and we'll allow her a lot more time to talk some puck and whatever else she wants to.
Puck yeah!
Thank you. That's when you do it, John. That's how it's done, sir. But let's talk some hoop. I don't know how much you guys want to talk about the Karl Anthony Towns Embiid fight. It was lame.
I mean, Joel Embiid, he ain't no B, for sure.
He ain't going to back down.
Yeah, he ain't no B.
But still, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, there was no, like, I mean, you saw the altercation that happened. It was, like, mushing of faces and, like, headlocks.
Yeah,
you
it was
know,
lame.
It was like... It was like how it would fight my little brother when we were 12 and 6.
If there was mud, it would have been a fight my 6-year-old brother. That's pretty much all it was, man. It was pretty pathetic.
It was gross. I mean, come on.
These
for
guys are
for 2 7-foot-tall, just athletically prone people, that you can't throw one solid jab?
Solid jab can cost you at least 15 games. No pay.
I mean, it already cost them two.
Two games. I ain't worried about two games. I'll mush somebody for two games. I ain't going to sock nobody and miss out on half a season or a full season.
Yeah, but let's look at it in the hockey realm. You know, I mean, that just boosts your team. That boosts your notoriety. I mean, Joel Embiid knocks out. Think of the storyline. Think of the next time they play him. You know how scared that dude is going to be going to the lane?
Think of the lost endorsements. All the
I mean, really?
The police activity after the game. The domestic abuse. Not domestic abuse, but... Battery assault.
Assault and battery.
Yeah, assault and battery. Just the whole, these guys did the right thing. I mean, at this point, we're not in the 80s and 90s anymore where we're going to get real.
Yeah.
J.R. Ryder punching on Kobe or Ron Artest jumping into the crowd.
It was Chris Childress, wasn't it?
It was Chris Childs.
Chris Childs. That ran up on Kobe.
We're not going to have fights like that anymore because obviously these people are too well trained and. Know what's going on, know what the implications of doing stuff like that. But it would be nice.
It's too much money to be lost.
I would love to see 7-footers duke it out.
Yes.
I would love to see that.
Who was it that Alonzo Mourning got tangled up with when... God, I'm trying to remember when Jeff Van Gundy was on the ground holding on to their legs. Was that Patrick Ewing? No. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I feel like it would be Patrick Ewing. That seems about right. It was during that time. Maybe God, Charles Oakley.
That was a great moment in time.
Yeah.
Not as great as the P.J. Brown-Charlie Ward fight, and definitely no Malice at the Palace, which was basically Armageddon-level fighting. Larry Johnson, Grandma Ma, thank you, sir. Statman Brad with the appropriately timed correction. The Warriors are trash.
Yeah, I mean, let's not say trash.
No, they're trash. They're giving up over 120 points a game. Their defense is so awful.
Scrubs.
Trash.
Yeah, but you look at it like the organization is trash. Our four best all-stars are injured for the next season.
You're trash.
You're trash.
Yeah.
This year.
That means you're a garbage team.
Yeah.
If you have three of your top four players out currently, one of whom who isn't going to play this year, and I'm reporting that exclusively here, Klay Thompson ain't coming back. Why even bring him back? No, there's no point.
Not now.
No, there's no point.
D'Angelo Russell's loving it. He's like, yeah, my team now. I'm like on the Nets again. Score all at will. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the West Coast Nets.
Well, honestly, it's great for the Warriors franchise because he's going to be able to play his brand of basketball because I honestly didn't think that D'Angelo Russell was going to fit into that style of basketball that the Warriors have played with for the last, 5 years.
Well, he'll fit nicely now. Trash.
But it will get him, his points per game. It'll get him, his minutes and possibly an all-star appearance or at least high voting to trade after this season. I mean, that is something the Warriors can look forward to dish him off and get either a draft pick or another good key veteran role player for him.
I mean, I would tell you the most interesting thing about the Warriors season this year is not even the Warriors season. It's the fact that Steph Curry is going to play in the Olympics next year. And that is the biggest thing that the Warriors have going for them. That Steph Curry has already committed with his broken hand that he's going to play in the 2020 Olympics, which we definitely need after a subpar showing in the World Championships this year. We definitely need some good old red, white, and blue pride. So shout out to Steph for making that commitment.
Yeah, agreed. Lakers are good. Let's move on. Derek.
It's amazing. I love it.
Do you have a Grinds My Gears?
I got you a couple right now. Well, I can give you one.
You could give us one because that's all we have time for.
Give me one second.
Kings are decent.
Yeah. It sucks. What's wrong with the Kings?
Shout out to first-time listener Tom. Great article today.
All right.
Go for it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I will.
You know what really grinds my gears?
when movies have the bad guys,